A warm welcome to a special programme on Radio Prague to mark the 60th anniversary of the end of World War II. My name is Peter Smith. We'll be bringing you reports on how the anniversary is being marked in different places and in different ways around the country. But first, we'll start with a summary of the news with Dita Asiedu.
Thanks, Peter. Ceremonies have been taking place around the Czech Republic on the 60th anniversary of the end of the Second World War. On Sunday morning, President Václav Klaus, other politicians and war veterans attended a memorial ceremony here in Prague. David Vaughan was there.
It's a cold and blustery May morning, and I'm at the National Memorial on the hill Vítkov in Prague. Just above me is the statue of the 15th century Czech warrior Jan Žižka. And a memorial ceremony is about to start with the Guard of Honour of the Czech Army and the Castle Guard ready for the ceremony to start, which will be attended by the President, Václav Klaus. The Czech flag has been raised and a 21-gun salute.
Vojáci, nazdar!
Zdar!
Jednotky, rozet, vren! Oh!
And now, wreaths are going to be laid at the memorial to those who died for their country. And President Klaus, Prime Minister Paroubek, the Chairman of Parliament, and other Czech dignitaries are going to lay wreaths.
On Saturday evening, President Klaus also met Czech veterans at Prague Castle and honoured six of them by promoting them to the rank of general, as well as a further three in memoriam. In a speech, he warned against attempts to rewrite the history of the Second World War.
Válka se v této rozmazané optice začíná jevit jako tragický, nikým nespůsobený.
Through this blurred perspective, the war turns into a mass of individual suffering, caused by no one, and the victim and the perpetrator are put on the same level. This makes it possible to detach cause from effect, and crime from punishment. I think this is a grave danger today.
Z dnešních velkých nebezpečí.
Ceremonies have also been taking place to remember foreign troops from both the Red Army and the Western Allied armies who gave their lives during the liberation of Czechoslovakia. Around 100,000 people also attended celebrations in Buzen on Saturday to remember the liberation of the city by American troops. Among those attending commemorations in the Czech Republic is the Vice President of the European Commission, Margot Wallström. Alongside various memorial ceremonies, there have also been several reenactments of historical events, including the bloody battle on Vinohradská Street for control of the radio building during the Prague uprising. And on Sunday morning, thousands of people braved unseasonally cold weather at Prague's Letná Plain for a huge historical military parade. The parade was also the first chance for the people of Prague to see some of the Czech Republic's new fleet of Gripen supersonic fighter aircraft in the air during a flypast. On to other stories now. The government spokeswoman Veronika Skořepová has resigned following reports in the Czech media that she had padded her official resume. Ms. Skořepová was previously assistant to the newly appointed Prime Minister Jiří Paroubek during his tenure as local development minister. Czech media had reported on Friday that she had listed on her resume at least one organization for which she had never worked. Ms. Skořepová said she had been the target of a negative media campaign and denied that she had false information in her resume. She said she was leaving her post only because she did not want to discredit the new government in any way. Former Czech President Václav Havel has denied earlier reports that he signed an open letter attacking Russia's record on democracy and political freedom. Mr. Havel said that although he had not signed the letter, he could sympathize with anyone pointing out the deep ambiguities of the Soviet liberation of Eastern Europe at the end of the war. The letter's 75 signatories include former prime ministers of Soviet bloc countries like Estonia, as well as advocates of democracy from Europe and the United States, including current and former lawmakers. The open letter is to be published in the UK's Financial Times newspaper on May the 9th to coincide with ceremonies in Moscow marking the end of the Second World War. The signatories accuse Russia of betraying the principles behind the victory against Nazi Germany 60 years ago and say Russia's plan to mark the anniversary in Moscow makes a mockery of the struggle for freedom. The Czech national hockey team crushed the previously unbeaten Slovak team 5-1 on Saturday night at the World Championship in Vienna. Scoring for the Czech team were Petr Sikora, Martin Straka, Martin Ručinský, Aleš Hemský and Pavel Kubina. The Czech team remains undefeated in the championship with previous wins against Switzerland, Germany and Kazakhstan in the first group stage. Saturday's match against the Slovaks was their first real test. The Czech team has now secured a spot in the quarterfinals. I'm Dita Asiru and that's the end of the news.
You're listening to a special edition of Radio Prague commemorating the 60th anniversary of the end of World War II, which cost the lives of 150,000 Czechs. Special events and ceremonies have been held all over the Czech Republic to remember the events of 60 years ago when Nazi forces that had occupied the country throughout the war were finally forced into retreat by the advancing Allied armies. While on this cold and windy day, thousands gathered on Prague's Letná Plain, a huge open park just to the east of the castle, to watch a unique military parade. Pavla Horáková was there and has this report.
Prague's Letná Plain has not seen so many people since 1989. People of all generations came to watch the parade that featured both historical and modern technology and machinery. Tanks and armored vehicles in camouflage colors paraded, and units in historical uniforms marched past, saluting crisply to the guests on the grandstand. Among the guests of honor were many war veterans, the Czech Defense Minister Karel Kühnel, and as the Supreme Commander of the Czech Armed Forces, also President Václav Klaus. Around 1,100 people, 250 vehicles and 9 horses filed past on Letná Plain in what was the biggest military parade in the Czech Republic since 1989. Besides the land forces, the crowds could also watch a flypast of Czech helicopters, 2 types of Czech-made subsonic fighters and, for the first time ever, a couple of brand new JAS-39 Gripen fighter jets that will gradually replace an aging fleet of Soviet MiGs. In the historical part of the parade, people could see Czechoslovak units fighting in foreign legions during the First World War, the Army of Independent Czechoslovakia before the Second World War, then the Czechoslovak troops who fought during the Second World War in Britain, Russia and Africa, and also the Allies' armies, the Red Army and the US Army, as well as Polish and Romanian troops. Finally, Czech police units marched past, followed by Czech veterans of the Gulf War, as well as UN missions in the former Yugoslavia and participants of Operation Enduring Freedom. The parade was concluded by Czech Tatra trucks, traditional Czech military vehicles. All the machinery remains on display on Letná Plain for the rest of Sunday, where it will be admired especially by children, such as this young boy.
No, bylo to pěkný. Ty tanky. No, ty americký a...
He says he especially enjoyed the tanks, while his little brother was particularly thrilled by the supersonic fighter jets. I also spoke to 2 friends, an American and a Czech, who had watched Sunday's parade.
I thought it was beautiful. It was very nice to see it and everyone come together.
And do you think that these things should take place more often?
Yeah, because I believe we should appreciate the people that were there before they disappear, because they're dying at a very high rate. So while we can appreciate them, we should.
And which part of the parade did you enjoy most?
The tanks. That's what I did in the Marine Corps, so I'm very partial.
And how about you? What did you think of today's parade?
I think the parade is great. I like it very much. I enjoy it, especially thanks.
And did you enjoy the helicopters and the Gripen fighter jets?
Yeah, of course. I like Gripens.
And you look very young. Did you ever see anything like that before?
Yeah, maybe 2 years ago I saw something similar. It was in Pilsen. But I think this action is much more better.
And do you think that these things should take place more often?
Yeah, of course, because especially the young people, have to get to know more about the history. And I think, yeah.
Although Sunday's military parade took place on exactly the same spot as communist parades before 1989, the organizers of Sunday's event say there is one important difference. While communist parades were demonstrations of power, the principal purpose of Sunday's file past was to commemorate all those who fell to liberate Europe from Nazism 60 years ago.
Pavla Horáková there on Letná Plain in Prague. Some of the last fighting of the war took place in Prague, long after most cities in Europe had already been liberated. On May the 5th, 1945, Prague rose up against the collapsing Nazi regime, but some 3,000 people were killed in fierce fighting before the Russians liberated the city 4 days later. Czech radio was at the centre of the so-called Prague Uprising, and a large and dramatic reenactment of the battle for the station was held on Saturday. Ian Willoughby was there.
Americans and English, help us. We need guns. There are too many Germans. Send us airplanes and tanks. The Americans before Pilsen, send us airplanes too. The Germans are coming from south, north, west and east. Help us, help us.
Czech radio appeals for help from Allied forces based in Pilsen on May 6th, 1945, on the second day of the four-day Prague uprising. The uprising began when Czech radio broadcasters managed to gain control of the station from the Nazi occupiers and barricaded themselves inside. A similar call was made by an unknown Scottish escaped prisoner of war, who somehow ended up in our building here on Vinohradská Street.
We are calling urgently our allies to help. Send immediately tanks and aircraft. Help us defend Prague. At present, we are broadcasting from the broadcasting station, and outside there is a battle raging.
That raging battle was recreated on Saturday afternoon, with thousands of Prague citizens lining Vinohradská, or Schwerinstrasse as it was called by the Germans during the war. Over 100 people took part in the dramatic reenactment, which also featured period vehicles and even an old tram. Fake blood flowed in the gutters, the air was filled with smoke, and at times it was extremely loud.
We didn't need much research because we had a lot of photographs and a lot of memories of insurgencies. But it was a very big deal to prepare this event. We had prepared it for half a year.
Says Alexander Picha, the main organizer of the reenactment of the battle for the radio. What for him was the highlight of the whole event?
Highlight? Can I confess, my main highlight was the end, because I was quite looking forward to that action, but I was very nervous, because when it started, it didn't depend on me, it depended on all performers. But the second highlight was, the second highlights were tears in eyes of old insurgents, really.
And how many of the old veterans from that time were here today?
About 15 who fought for Czech radio, and about 20 who fought in Prague's uprising.
I see you're wearing a gold medal. And I believe you gave the same gold medal to some of these veterans earlier.
This gold medal is a replica of the old silver medal, which was given in 1945.
Among those who received the commemorative gold medal, to add to his original silver from 60 years ago, was Lubor Shushlik.
I was here as a 17-year-old Boy Scout, and I fight it here in this building with many group from police and gendarmerie and soldier from Czech soldier here. What you did seen here about in this reconstruction?
Earlier, I saw you carrying an old flag. What was the old flag?
This flag is the flag from radio fighters.
He describes the reenactment as realistic and moving, and recalls the spirit of camaraderie between those who fought to defend the station.
We say one to other only brother.
Did you have any friends who died here in 1945?
Yes, many. There are their names here on the desk.
Lubor Shushlik, a 17-year-old scout in 1945, referring there to a plaque in the entrance to our Czech radio building, reminding us of those who came before us and who paid the ultimate sacrifice in the defence of freedom.
Ian Willoughby there on the reenactment of the Battle for Czech Radio. Well, one of the major focal points of this year's anniversary was the return of American and Belgian veterans to Pilsen, the city they liberated in the final days of the war 60 years ago. Town officials, as well as Belgian and US representatives, were all in attendance to honour the soldiers' deeds in liberating Pilsen, while veterans like Leo Heimas addressed the crowd.
In World War II, we overcame Italian fascism, German Nazism, and Japanese imperialism. That war ended here. I was 19 years old, a U.S. soldier. It was the hardest thing I have ever done. But it was the best thing I ever did. Thank you.
All of the veterans, including Mr. Heimas, expressed joy to be back again. Most have been coming back for years. Jan Vellinger spoke to some of them, including Bill Creech of Texas, who was a 25-year-old lieutenant when he entered Pilsen so many years ago.
Yes, I've been here before, and it's the friendliest country I've ever been in. The weather today is about like it was when we came in 60 years ago. Behind the 16th Armored Division, we got all the wine and roses and kisses and hugs where they had already gone on.
Until that point, did you experience difficult fighting and difficult situations?
Yes, all the way from the beach to here.
In fact, the war stopped here, but it could have gone on, in liberation, I mean, gone all the way to Prague. Have you reflected over the last 60 years on the fate of this country following 1945?
We were stopped between here and Prague. As a matter of fact, I was getting ready to go on a patrol the night before the war ended. And we could have gone on. There was nothing there between us and Prague, but they stopped us and wouldn't let us go.
His wife, Tutsi, also added a few words.
To me, the people in the Czech Republic are the most patriotic and appreciative people in the world.
Well, there have been many nice things about this year's celebrations, including the fact that many of the veterans have been able to come with their families, wives, children or grandchildren, wanting to see Pilsen for themselves, though many have been here before and know the city well. It doesn't lose in intensity over time. Nels Petersen was one of those who told us how he felt about being here with his granddad.
If you don't have a grandfather, somebody that is alive or who you knew growing up, really, I think my generation is losing the whole story of what they did. I mean, they are considered the greatest generation. It is special to be here with my grandfather to see this and see how many people are still taking this to heart and how important it really was.
Nell's grandfather, Oscar C. Petersen, himself.
Out of 32 medics, there were two captured and everybody else wounded, but three of us out of 32. And I was one of the lucky ones to survive. I come in as a private in my outfit, and when the war ended, I was in charge of my outfit because I was one of the few survivors. I'm really thankful to be alive, and I am really thankful the way the Czech people have greeted us. It's been wonderful.
Meanwhile, on the same day that veterans were honoured in Pilsen, the town officially became a sister city to Birmingham, Alabama, as a choir of young Czech men and women performed a moving rendition of a well-known gospel song. As organisers pointed out, the Sister Cities programme was the brainchild of US President Dwight Eisenhower in an effort to promote peace worldwide. Ruth Bradbury Lamont is the chairperson for Birmingham's Sister Cities Commission.
President Eisenhower believed that if people were able to share meals and fun, then we wouldn't be sharing in the shooting of weapons, that we would be much less likely to have war. I have been able to make friends all over the world.
When World War II ended, Mrs. Bradbury Lamont says she was just still a little girl, but her reflections were interesting too.
I was just a tiny child when this happened, but I can remember I could read, and I brought in the newspaper to my mother, and I said, because I didn't know Roman numerals at the time, "Oh, look, it says World War XI is over."
Jan Bellinger reporting there from Pilsen. Now, one legend that has entered Prague folklore recently is that of the Pink Tank, and it certainly does bear a certain relevance to today's events. Pavel Horáková has more.
Prague's Kinsky Square was for many decades called the Square of Soviet Tank Crews. It was because a huge Soviet tank, a memorial to the liberation of Czechoslovakia in 1945, used to stand here on a 5-metre pedestal, its barrel menacingly pointing at a tram stop. Until one morning in the spring of 1991, locals woke up and could not believe their eyes. The tank had turned pink overnight.
Of course, it was a political statement, and at the same time, it was an artistic action, and it was a lot of fun.
The enfant terrible of Czech visual art, David Černý, was only 23 when he covered the green tank in pink paint, making it look rather like a piece of candy. But his act was seen by many as an outrage against the Soviet liberators of Prague. It's the 9th of May 1945, and a radio announcer celebrates as the Soviet tanks roll into the city. But more than a symbol of the liberation of Prague by the Red Army in 1945, for many Czechs the tank became a reminder of the Soviet-led occupation of Czechoslovakia in 1968.
Having to pass this symbol of the Russian dictatorship, which was here since I was born, I did not took the tank as a symbol of freedom at the end of the Second World War.
Of course, the Czechoslovak army would have no such nonsense as a pink tank in the middle of the city. So 3 days later, soldiers arrived with buckets of paint and gave the tank a new green coat. 10 days after that, a group of parliament deputies repainted it pink again in support of David Černý's act. To end the dispute, the tank was finally taken away, much to the relief of the local authorities, partly because the tank itself was a historical nonsense.
It was the wrong tank, the wrong type of tank, and with the wrong number on its turret. It was built on...
The military historian Tomáš Jakl specializes in the liberation of Czechoslovakia.
The tank which was built on the monument, this tank IS-2, which is an infantry tank, but the first tank, the first Soviet tank, which came to Prague early morning on 9th May 1945, was a T-34 cruiser tank or fast tank or medium tank. So it was a completely different type of tanks. And the number on the turret of the monument was completely different than that one which was on tanks which came to Prague on early morning in May 1945.
No one knows what actually happened to the very first Red Army tank that came to Prague, but since July 1945, when the monument was erected, Prague citizens were made to believe the IS-2 was the first one to have entered the city. The Soviet IS-2 infantry tank, reportedly still sporting a pink coat, is now kept in the Military History Museum outside Prague. But that's not quite the end of the story. There are plans to restore it to its one-time glory. A communist representative on the Prague City Council, František Hofmann, says he was approached by war veterans organizations who would like to see the tank back in its place. Mr. Hofmann says he disapproved of what the artist David Černý did to it 14 years ago.
Certain things should be untouchable. If someone lays down his life far away from home for someone else, their dignity should be respected, no matter what followed historically. There should definitely be a memorial of some kind to those who laid down their lives during the liberation of Prague.
Nějaký pomník, nějaký symbol osvobození Prahy mohlo být.
The military historian Tomáš Jakl says, however, that Prague does not need another monument commemorating the events.
I think that there are a lot of monuments on Soviet presence in Prague in May 1945. For example, statue of Marshal Konev in Davice, or Marshal Konev Street in Žižkov, or memorial plaque of guards Leutnant Goncharenko, who died in Prague, and so on. I think that it is unnecessary.
Opinions on the return of the tank may differ, but one thing is certain. The champions of its restoration did not make it for this year's 60th anniversary of the end of the Second World War. But they say they won't give up. And the artist, David Černý, who 14 years ago started the debate around the allegedly first Soviet tank in Prague, in his typical tongue-in-cheek manner, welcomes the initiative.
I think it's a great idea. I think that we should bring back more communistic symbols. I would go much further and I would build back all the Russian stars, all the signs saying that the communistic party is our leader and our everything, our life, and the Soviet Union is our biggest brother. Because when you look at the 40% of population saying that it was much better to live during communism than now, it would be just better.
Artist David Černý there, ending that report by Pavla Horáková. And that's it from us on this special day here at Radio Prague. From me, Peter Smith, until next time. Bye-bye.